Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Remember that Israel is God's chosen people. Now, before you get too uppity a feeling about that, I don't know if I like that or not, that the nation of Israel is God's chosen people. God chose them so that they could bless all nations by one being born in them who would bless all nations.
Our Messiah came out of the nation of Israel. And Scripture tells us that whoever blesses Israel will be blessed by God, and whoever curses Israel will be cursed by God. The people of Israel are God's chosen people, and even though they aren't following Him today, one day soon, the Bible tells us they will come to recognize Jesus as their Messiah. We're in Revelation chapter 12 as we study the woman and the dragon in the tribulation. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Father, thank you for your word. It is rich, it is deep, it is meaningful, powerful, profound, life-changing. We thank you that you speak to us, challenge us, encourage us. And we pray now that we would have a good understanding as to the backdrop of what's happening in the world from the beginning until the end. And we see that in these six verses, and we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So as you look at chapter 12, verses 1 through 6 in the book of Revelation, you truly do get a backdrop as to what's happening, the battle that's taking place behind the scenes, what God's doing, what Satan's trying to do, and how God is working from the beginning to the end in just these six verses. And what I would like to do is start off by reading it. I just want you to hear it. And as you're reading it, you're going to hear of a woman, you're going to hear of a child, and you're going to hear of a dragon. So I want you to think about who you think the woman is, who you think the child is, and who you think the dragon is. I'm pretty sure every one of you here is going to get the dragon, okay? I'm pretty sure about that. There's not a person who's going to miss that. The woman is the one that people have differences about, and some people get the child wrong, although I think 99% of you are going to get the child, all right? So let's read it. Verse 1, Revelation chapter 12. Now a great sign appeared in the heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with a moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child. And so as it was born, she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God, to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God. And there he would feed her for 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. All right. Now, I want to tell you that there are a lot of different ideas as to who this is, and we will cover that, but I want to start by covering who this woman is. That's where we will begin. But I want you to notice it says there was a sign up in heaven. I told you that Revelation will tell you what it's doing, that you don't have to guess. Revelation is very clear about revealing things. So when it says there's a sign up in heaven, what does a sign do? A sign gives you information. That's what a sign does. And in Revelation chapter 1, listen to what we're told about the book in chapter 1, verse 1. This is the first verse in the book of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to show his servants things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it, which is where we get a sign from, signified it by his angel to his servant John. So there are signs throughout the book of Revelation. There's a basic breakdown in the book that you could talk about the tribulation period being the 7 seals, the 7 trumpets, and the 7 bowls. And we just finished the 7th trumpet. But we don't get the bowls until I think verse chapter 15 or 16. And we're going to get them all in one chapter. Everything between here and there is going to be information that we need to know about the tribulation period, with the significance of this chapter being it's about the backdrop of all time. From the very beginning, when the fall happened, all the way until the very, very end when Jesus returns and plants his feet on the earth. I'm not talking about the rapture. I'm talking about when he returns to this earth. Remember, the saints in 1 Thessalonians 4 meet him in the air and forever be with the Lord, but Jesus will come back to this earth in Jerusalem, and that's at the end of the tribulation period. So that's what we see here. So we want to start by reading these first three verses and talking about who this woman is. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with a moon under her feet, and with a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor, in pain, to give birth. There's a basic principle in hermeneutics, which means Bible study. So there's a basic principle in hermeneutics. When you see something and you go, what is this about? You want to go to other places and see if you can find it in other places so it can help you determine what it's about. So where else do we find the moon and the sun and 12 stars or 11 stars in this case? And it's in Joseph's dream. You remember that Joseph was the youngest of the 12, second youngest of the 12 brothers, right? Benjamin being younger than him. And that because he loved Rachel, and only Joseph and Benjamin were born to Rachel, he favored Joseph over his brothers, and his brothers became so envious, they sold him into slavery. Then he gets accused of rape, and he gets thrown into prison. Things get worse and worse for him, but God's got a plan. And even out of all that yuckiness, God's able to raise him up and do something that's absolutely tremendous by him. But in chapter 37, he has a dream that he's out working in the field with his brothers, and they're making sheaves. This would be like wheat, where they take it and they wrap it up. And all of a sudden, the sheaves stood up and 11 of them bowed down to him. So what did he do? He went to his brothers and said, I had a dream that I was working out in the field with you and all of your sheaves bowed down to my sheave. And the brothers are like, yeah, maybe you ought to keep your dreams to yourself. At least that's what I think they said. Now he has another dream. This is verse 9 of Genesis 37. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brethren. And said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. No wonder they sold him into slavery. Now, the interpretation of the dream is given to us when he tells his dad. He tells his brothers, but then he tells his brothers and his dad together. So he told it to his father and his brothers. So he's telling it a second time. And his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I, your brothers, indeed come and bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Now, Jacob's name gets changed to Israel. And Israel has his four wives that he has 12 sons. And I won't go into why he has four wives, but it's not a good thing, okay? It's a tragedy in the life of Jacob that he has four wives. It might be a tragedy if any man had four wives. Sorry, but true. It's not a good thing. But this represents the nation of Israel. And this is the woman. The woman has been called by God. And remember that Israel is God's chosen people. Now, before you get too uppity a feeling about that, I don't know if I like that or not, that the nation of Israel is God's chosen people. God chose them so that they could bless all nations by one being born in them who would bless all nations. So God wanted to bless all the nations on the earth and chose one nation that he would call his people. And out of that one nation would come the Messiah. And the Messiah would bless all nations. And remember that even in the very end, the book of Joel talks about an army gathering together in the valley of Jehoshaphat, which is around Jerusalem, and it's the battle of Armageddon. And God says that he brings the armies of the world against my people. God calls Israel my people at the battle of Armageddon, which is the very end. So there's no way that you can say that they are not God's people. God has chosen them. Now, are they following and serving God now? Not as a people. They are secular, if anything. They are not following him. More and more Jews are getting saved. More and more people in Israel are coming to Christ. So many, in fact, that it is disturbing some of the main political leaders and rabbis. They want to pass a law that if you share Christ with anyone, you will go to jail for a year or 2 years. They want to pass that law now. They're bringing it up in the Knesset now because so many people are learning about Christ. Here's what they find out. They've been told forever, and if you're a Jew here, perhaps you can attest to this, been told forever, don't talk about Jesus. Don't look into Jesus. Don't look into Christianity. And there's a history there. Because even though it was the Jewish people that persecuted the church in the very beginning, the church returned the favor, persecuted the Jews over generations and called them Christ killers. And there was heavy persecution. And you get to the Inquisition, you get to a lot of ugly things that happen, a lot of ugliness, a lot of anti-Semitism. And there's anti-Semitism that's around even today. And I see it still. I see it on, especially on YouTube, on the, I erase certain comments that people make that they'll say about the Jews. And I'm amazed that it's there today and that it's that heavy. There's such a hatred there today. They will still call them Christ killers today. When we know Jesus said, no one takes my life, but I lay it down, and I who lay it down have the power to pick it back up again. Nobody took his life. He laid it down for us. And yet they still stick to that idea. So this is Israel with the 12 stars, which represent the 12 suns, covered with the sun and the moon at the feet, which would represent Israel, and that she's going to give birth to a child, which is why God chose Israel. God just didn't go, I need a nation. I'm going to call my nation. I think I'm going to call it the Jewish people. That's God had a plan and a purpose, and that was to bring the Messiah through them. So this woman is straining to give birth to that child. Why? Why is she straining to give birth to it? Because it says, then being with child, she cried in labor in pain to give birth. Because people have disliked Israel because of a satanic battle that's going on in the background. It's why Moses was thrown into a river in an ark, but with a command from the Pharaoh to kill all the male babies. It's why Haman wanted to kill the people during the days of Esther, right? Is that the right person? Haman? Mordecai's a good guy, Haman bad guy. In World War II, Jews were killed, not only in Germany, but in Russia as well. There's a hatred against the Jewish people, and a large number, millions of them were killed. And it's because there's a battle going on behind the scenes. It's a spiritual battle, and that's what we're learning about here, okay? So that's who the woman is. We'll talk about what some other people say in a moment. Now we talk about the dragon. Now, as I said, the dragon's easy, right? Everybody got the dragon. Dragon's the devil. Is there anybody here that thought the dragon was anybody but the devil? You're not going to raise your hand no matter what anyway. The dragon is the devil. How do we know? We don't have to guess, okay? It's not like with the woman where I have to go back and find something. We're told in Revelation 12:9. This is the same chapter, few verses later. It says, so the great dragon who was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. Now that may be going all the way back to the fall. Sometimes people think that this happens during the tribulation period, that in the tribulation period, Satan has no more access into heaven and he gets cast out, maybe. Or it may be that he's talking about the fall when he fell and a third of the angels fell with him. But this is a significant deception, and he deceives the whole world. And the Bible even talks about a lie in the last days. And a lot of people speculate about what the lie is. I don't know that we can tell for sure what it is. It might be evolution. Evolution could be the lie. The lie might be that there's no flood. There's so much evidence for the flood, and the flood is denied. And the Bible says they willingly forgot the earth was covered in water. Go up to the highest mountains and you have ocean fossils up on the highest mountains and willingly forget that the earth was covered in water. One of the arguments will be, well, where did all that water come from? In order to have enough water to cover the highest mountain, Ararat? How much water do you have to have? Well, the Bible says that the mountains were pushed up and the valleys were drawn low. In other words, the topography of the earth was different so that the water that is in the ocean could cover the entire world at that time when the springs were opened up and the heavens let loose. And then at a certain time, and the Bible says this, the mountains pushed up and the valleys went down, creating the oceans that we have today. That may be the lie. I'm not saying it is. It may very well be the lie. Romans says they willingly forget that the world was covered in water, but we know that he is a deceiver. Now we learn more about him in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14 is to the king of Tyre. Ezekiel 28 is to the king of Babylon. But once you get into it, you realize he's talking about the power behind the king of Babylon and the power behind the king of Tyre, and that is Satan himself. Both of those chapters talk of Satan. Ezekiel 28 says this about him. You were the anointed cherub who covers. He's not just any angel. He was a cherub. We did angels earlier in the book of Revelation. We did a whole study on biblical angels. And we saw that there were cherubim and seraphim. And on top of the Ark of the Covenant, it's Indiana Jones, right? You have two angels. There are cherubs, and they covered the mercy seat. There's also cherubs that are beside where the Ark of the Covenant was. And so he was a cherub that covers, whatever that means. He was a high-ranking angel. It says, I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. Eden is spoken about as being in the mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. Not exactly sure what that means. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. God created him perfect until sin was found in him. In Isaiah, it says that he wanted to make his throne as high as God's throne. He wasn't arrogant enough to think he could get it above God's throne, but he thought, I can make it as high as God's throne. And he says, you've lifted yourself up and I will cast you down, O son of the morning, O morning star, or Lucifer. And we've gone into detail before, that's not his name, that he's mocking him, because Lucifer in Latin is Venus. And so this is the morning star. You wanted to be the morning star, and now you're gonna be cast down from the earth. And so God's mocking him. But this is this dragon. What does the dragon want to do? The dragon wants to kill the child. So we get that in the middle of verse or 4 again. And the dragon stood before the woman and was ready to give birth, to devour the child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up to God and on his throne. So you see, we're getting in these 6 verses this snapshot from the first prophecy that was given to Satan after he tempted Adam and Eve and they fell. One of her descendants, one of the woman's descendants, is going to crush your head, but you will bruise his heel. It's a prophecy of the cross. That's Genesis 3:15, all the way back then. All the way until God hides her for 3.5 years, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, when they are restored spiritually to him. They will come back to him and serve him spiritually. And so who's the child? Well, the child is Christ. Rules with a rod of iron. The child was caught up to God on his throne. Now, some say the child is the church because the church rules with Christ. And there is a passage that says we will rule with a rod of iron. And so they say, well, we're the church. And there is also a passage that says, we will set upon his throne as he sets upon his throne. So some say it's the church, but it's not. It is Jesus. That is who he wants to devour. Does he want to devour the church? Certainly. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Yes. But this is the battle over the Christ child that was promised, that was brought through Israel, that Israel went through all of its pain and for in order to bring that child in. And if Satan could destroy Israel today, he would stop God's prophecy. He would make God a liar. Because God has promised that he's going to restore the nation of Israel spiritually. Let me give you that passage, by the way. It's near the end of my notes. It's Romans 11:25-26. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. So there's this mystery that Paul doesn't want us to be ignorant of. Lest you should be wise in your own opinion. There are people who are wise in their own opinion concerning this. That blindness in part has happened to Israel, because Jews are getting saved today. So blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So it's only partial. Blindness has happened to them until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Did you get it? All Israel will be saved. I don't know if all means every single person, but I know it can't mean a few. It's got to be the vast majority of them that will begin to serve and live for Jesus Christ. And that is the child that he wants to destroy. Now it says the woman fled into the wilderness, and this is the last 3.5 years, where she has a place prepared by God that she should feed her there 1,260 days. We'll talk more about this in the second half of this study, because it gets into more detail about God protecting Israel. God will supernaturally protect Israel. The church has been taken out beforehand. We are not going to receive the wrath of God. I hear people today nonchalantly saying, well, there is no rapture of the church, without dealing with any of the issues. Yeah, well, so what did Jesus mean when Jesus said, pray that you would be counted worthy to escape all of these things and stand before the Son of Man? What did he mean by that? There, you're going to be able to escape it while you're there? Why are you going to stand before the Son of Man? Why does the Bible say that because you kept my word to persevere, I will keep you from the hour of testing that's going to come upon the whole world? They try to say it's going to say, I'll keep you through the hour of testing, but it's going to come upon those who dwell on the earth. We are not earth dwellers. We are citizens. We're pilgrims here, but citizens of heaven. I'm not going to go on making a complete case for the rapture today. I'll do that another time soon, but I won't do it right now. So what else do people say this woman is? Okay, so there's a few other ideas out there. So in the book of Revelation, it says that God created the sun, the moon, and the stars for signs and seasons. And so that idea of signs causes people to say, well, this is a sign in the heavens, this is one of the constellations. There's a book that's written, The Gospel in the Skies or The Gospel in the Stars. I was going to look it up. I forgot to. It's something along those lines where it takes the constellations and it tells the story of the gospel through the constellations. So I'm not saying that that's not true, okay? I'm not saying that that's not the case. But what they will say is that Virgo is the woman that is the sign in the sky. And that a rare event took place on September 23rd of 2017, where the sun was by her head and the moon was by her feet. When that was all given, and you guys may have seen this, right? You may have heard this back in 2007, the triad moons were happening at this time. And so you had writers who were writing about it, and they said Jesus was coming back in September 23rd of 2017. You may remember, like Harold Camping, that did the same thing in setting dates, that I talked about it then. Jesus didn't come back. And what I usually say when a date is set like this is, it ain't gonna happen that day, because Jesus says, I'm coming at a time you don't expect it. So every time somebody picks a date, they pick the date wrongly.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evening at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and noon. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio, or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.